Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Geek Culture Congress. I'm one of your hosts, as always, Louis Speedy Jr. Gonzalez, accompanied by my good friend, Mr. Joey Franchise. How you doing, sir?
What's up, man? In the building, ready to go.
Yeah?
Me too, man.
I'm excited. All these excellent rumors that have been hitting the internet, the interwebs, like I like to say. Are you excited for The Mandalorian, October 30th?
Yes, finally, man, we get something new, something to talk about, especially after an excellent season of The Boys. We're going right into Mando, so I'm hyped for that.
Excellent. What do you think? Any predictions? Anything you want to put on the record before we get the first episode?
I'm kind of going a little bit open minded. I wonder if I'm curious to see if they will give more backstory on where the child, aka Baby Yoda, came from.
Right.
Maybe they give us more context. I felt this series. I mean, even though Baby Yoda was the draw. As far as, you know, him being like the cute character and being able to sell merch and stuff like that for Disney. We let's not get it twisted. We were focused on Mando's story and his come up, right, being a child. How he ended up joining the clique. And I think this season we'll get a little bit more Baby Yoda backstory. And maybe I'm predicting an offspring of Yoda.
Yeah, you think so?
I think I'm going to go that route. Yeah, okay. I think that's going to be my prediction for...
I'm going to make no predictions because I just completely just enjoying the new direction that they're taking Star Wars with this whole series, you know what I mean? So I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it. I do believe that we'll get, we'll see Ahsoka in live action finally. And that's already been reported on, and I'm excited for all that stuff, man. So let's see how it all works out, how it all gets put together. Excuse my voice. I'm trying to clear.
Nope. Corona.
No corona, but... yeah, excuse me. anybody who's watching the live show on Twitch, you are more than welcome to chime in the comments there and be a part of the show. Go ahead and put a comment there. I'm always checking, going back and forth between the dashboard on the Twitch channel here on Checkpoint XP. Thanks for joining us live as we get into all this juicy stuff that's happening. Are you ready, Joey Franchise? Oscar Isaac in official final talks to be the MCU's Moon Knight.
I could see that.
Yeah? I like it too.
He's a solid actor. Had history in being in Marvel movies, even though it was a bad one. it wasn't that bad. Apocalypse. He played Apocalypse.
Yeah, he was Apocalypse, yeah.
I mean, I just didn't like the aesthetic and how Apocalypse looked.
I think a lot, since nobody really know who the actor of Apocalypse was, unless you actually look it up, I think he can get away with...
yeah, if I hadn't told you...
He gets a pass.
Yeah.
He gets a prosthetics pass.
It doesn't look like him.
No, it doesn't. No.
Makeup was so terribly bad that you couldn't tell it was him. But him being already in a Star Wars movie and associated with Disney makes a lot of sense. And yeah, I think they'll do good on this. They'll do right by it.
I just want to state that I think they gave him his hey man, thanks for holding down the Star Wars franchise. We're gonna give you this role right here. They gave him a little, little bump there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know what? He probably put something in his contract. Some of these actors when they sign these deals, whether he signed, whether it was Star Wars or just Disney itself, mm-hmm. Isaac is, he's a big, actor. So who knows if his contract there was some, fine print that said, hey, I'll do this Star Wars trilogy,
right?
But I also want to slide into some Marvel stuff. Let's make that happen. So I'm pretty sure they were trying to find a home for him and what character fit him right.
Exactly.
And I can see that better than the Keanu Reeves rumor that went around before.
I would have accepted the Keanu Reeves. It would have been interesting. I think it would have been too much expectations to it if they would have went that route. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, I think, with streaming being huge and where it's at right now, and having these exclusive, these premier access, you know, apps like Disney Plus, Netflix, and all that.
Right.
I mean, Keanu Reeves is at this point in his career. I mean, it's hard to say. I just can't see it. I just can't see him doing the streaming thing just yet. I'd see him more on the big screen. So I think he needs a big screen character, especially with John Wick. And he kind of reinventing himself with that, especially after doing that Matrix trilogy, which is on its way to doing a fifth movie. You know, I think, you know, he's a blockbuster. You know,
right.
he's
right. I think it's going to be great, man. So I'm looking forward to all that. That lets me, since remember he was Apocalypse in that unfortunate X-Men movie, that lets me pivot to the scoop provided by Mikey Sutton this week. You can always check him out there at his own website. He has geekositymag.com. And he says that mutants have always been in the MCU. And apparently, how one of the ways they're going to start the introduction to the mutant factor, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is that they're going to... I hate to use retcon, but I'm at a loss for words, so I'm going to stick with retcon. But they're going to introduce the Magneto character... And apparently, I guess she's in WandaVision. She's going to get some kind of revelation that Magneto was her father, and then the antagonist of that show is going to show her that Magneto has been in prison all this time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
One of the witches that's in that this show.
I get that, and that would be cool, because then it would show that maybe their entire life is kind of a lie between her and her brother.
Right.
Silver?
Quicksilver.
So between Wanda and her brother Quicksilver, like, you know, they were born in Wachovia, and I will say this, if they're going to put it this way, this is me kind of that in the war room, kind of as they're manipulating the script and the narrative, introducing the Magneto. So I would say to add on to that narrative and that rumor, or that scoop, I should say, for Mikey Sutton, shout out to Mikey. I would say, like, maybe Marvel's going to twist it, say that Wanda and Quicksilver didn't lose their, well, they lost their foster parents. And they were mutants this entire time. And that's why they, right. And when being exposed to the Mind Stone, it enhanced what was already there.
Fair enough. Let's see what direction they go with this whole thing. And I guess we're going to get it in December when we finally see some WandaVision and we finally get the next phase of the MCU in some form or fashion.
Like in December, I'm hoping.
Yes, I want to say it's mid December. I think I don't remember. I want to, maybe it's in the 20 something. I don't know. I don't feel like opening up internet right now. But talking about streaming, and ladies and gentlemen, if you don't think we're in streaming war, the streaming wars have officially begun. Okay, all right. So get prepared to enjoy, at least if you have the money to subscribe to all these things, especially, but. The streaming wars have begun, and if you do not think so, you are sadly mistaken. Continue on the Disney Plus side of things. Have you ever seen the movie Willow, Joey?
With Val Kilmer?
Yeah, I know. Willow, does that have Val Kilmer? But it has the Warwick Davis, the little guy, the midget that played R2-D2. Or he was also a Wicket in Return of the Jedi. He's a pretty famous... miniature actor.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. I'm familiar with Willow because they dropped the Netflix series, right?
Mm-hmm. Or movie. I think that Willow is on Disney Plus because it's a Disney property. I think it was on Netflix for a little while.
I swore they did a spinoff.
No. Well, That's why I'm bringing it up right now, because it's been officially announced that that actor, Warwick Davis, is going to reprise Willow again for a Disney Plus series continuing the adventures of Willow. And
I was right. Val Kilmer was in it.
Ah, okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. So, yep. So you did see it. I need to watch it again and refresh, because I remember enjoying the movie, enjoying it a lot. But now I don't remember how the plot went and everything. I guess I haven't seen it enough. I need to revisit it.
It's a year. The movie was made a year when I was 1 year old.
Ah, well then, that will explain everything. Yeah, that would explain everything. But that's why I brought it up, because I wasn't sure if it was before your time or not, and maybe you missed it. But
I know I've seen it before. I'm familiar with the cover of the, like, when it was on cassette, and the movie poster. So I'm familiar with Willow. I can't recall the plot or anything like that.
Right. Right. I want to pivot right now to the HBO Max side of things and the DC side of things, because Michael Keaton apparently has agreed to, in principle, to a HBO Max series. And everyone believes that HBO Max series, including the insider Mikey Sutton, believes that it will be a Batman Beyond live action series for HBO Max. So I think all those fans are getting their wish coming to come true. What do you think, Joey?
I think it's about time, man. It's about time we tell a different story in the Batman universe. Like, I'm always excited for a new Batman movie and who's going to, you know, play Bruce Wayne and all that. But, you know, now it's time, I think, to kind of venture off and really start telling some different stories and telling the Batman Beyond stories. And, you know, just like with Marvel was trying to tell the Miles Morales story eventually. But this is a good route. I like where they're taking this, and it's about time, because I really enjoyed the cartoon, and to see it in live action would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited for it as well. I think it's going to be awesome, to be honest with you. I think if they get even Tim Burton to get on, you know, about it, I think that would be excellent as well.
Yes, that would be very lit if Tim Burton's involved. I mean, I want it to be dark. You know,
Keep the vibe. Keep, you know, if it's going to be the Michael Keaton Batman, you know, it's got to stay that Tim Burton, you know, that, you know, he has that look, that aesthetic to his movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And if this series doesn't look like that, it's going to be like, you know?
Yeah, it's got to keep the same tone. Yeah. Especially in true Tim Burton fashion. I hope that he can, you know, they can, you know, do right by, you know, because I love Batman Returns, and that was Burton before, you know, Joe Schumacher took over, and God rest his soul, you know, I wasn't the hugest fan of how the Batman character was portrayed in the movies,
right?
Heard the Tim Burton style, and just even any of Tim Burton's movies. Like, I was watching Sleepy Hollow the other day, and just how I feel like ahead of his time it was.
Oh, as definitely.
Of what he was going for, even like Edward Scissorhands and, you know, things of that nature. It's dope, and I really hope that Tim Burton can come back and contribute to this whole project.
Well, talking about people that are coming back, I know how you feel, but Jared Leto apparently is back in the Snyder Cut of Justice League, reprising his role as Joker. How do you feel, Joy Franchise? You think it's epic, or you think it's an epic fail? What do you think?
I think it's epic, because I really enjoyed Jared Leto as an actor, and I really was looking forward to Suicide Squad when it originally released to see his portrayal, because I love the modern take on the character. Like, it's a modern-day guy. I mean, he looks like he was about to drop a mixtape with all the face tats, but, I mean, Jared, I think, needed a solid shot to really show what he can do as the character. I enjoyed the little, you know, he had a little crazy in him.
Yeah, I liked it. It was like a modern. It was a little modern vibe to the Joker. You know, I liked it. Little New Jack.
Yeah,
New Jack vibe.
Yeah. You know? Nothing we've ever been used to before. But I think it'll add more context to, you know, that Joker and Ben Affleck's Batman, because, you know, we saw in Dawn of Justice, Batman v Superman, that, you know, Joker existed, and there was that Robin suit. Mm-hmm. That was hanging up in, you know, this closet in the glass case.
Yeah.
Had the ha 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 all over it.
Yeah. So that went down. Like, that Joker either got killed or got seriously injured, apparently.
The rumor was before mm-hmm. was that Joker, like Jared Leto's Joker's allegedly Robin.
Hmm. Interesting.
So I think it was Jason Todd
mm-hmm.
that went bad. And if you ever played the Arkham Knight games, Arkham Knight game, the last Batman one in the trilogy,
mm-hmm.
Or no, it wasn't a trilogy. It was it a trilogy? I think it was. But the Arkham Knight. Anywho, right. Jason Todd was the Arkham Knight, and he had the J on it. He had the J mark on his face, and you know, Joker captured him and turned him up.
Interesting take. Let's see what happens. Let's see what direction they go. Let's see. I guess it's got to fit in the narrative of what was Snyder's vision for Justice League. So I think hopefully it's going to be some good. We get the what they call it, the something of Doom. I forget what they call themselves. The what?
The Legion of Doom.
The Legion of Doom. There you go.
No, I think that'll happen. I saw at the end of League the original one. You know, it's Lex Luthor and Deathstroke.
Yeah, yeah.
On the yacht together. But I heard Deathstroke's going to appear in the Snyder Cut, too.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Quite possibly. Definitely. That's happening already, yeah. That's whatever was going to get cut out is actually getting reintroduced back into the movie as far as like the ending sequences and stuff like that. And he already announced it, what was going to originally be in the movie but got cut on the cutting room floor is going back in this Snyder Cut version. Like we're getting the whole vision, you know, as far as like even.
I'm all here for it.
I'm here for it, man.
4 hours, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about 4 hours, ladies and gentlemen. So this is not for the weak at heart, okay? All right? This is no fly-by nights. This is for serious people, okay? HBO Max, Snyder Cut next year. Something to look forward to in this crazy times that we live in. Talking about crazy times, remember Nicolas Cage and his portrayal of the Ghost Rider? He had two movies that he was Ghost Rider in. Remember? This is pre-MCU stuff.
Yeah. I remember this.
Did you enjoy it, though? I enjoyed. I didn't think they weren't great movies, but they were not like super stinkers. You know, they were a good time to eat popcorn. You know,
no, for real, dead ass. Because Nick Cage, he was a good Johnny Blaze.
Yeah. The first one, he was funny to me, and you know, like his character, it was good. Then the second one was you know, to me.
This is Gone in 60 Seconds. Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, yeah.
He's fresh. And then he plays the Ghost Rider character. Right. He went from stealing cars to riding around motorcycles with a fiery skull.
Well, you know, the insider, Mikey Sutton, of course, is always commenting on things that he hears through the grapevine. And you know that Kevin Feige is working on this multiverse thing, you know, multi-universe thing. And he's trying to, you know, give the past projects, Marvel movie projects, a little bit of flowers, you know? So, quite possibly, they already announced some new Ghost Riders. Especially, it's going to be a female one. There's already the Ghost Rider that was introduced in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Robbie something. I forgot his last name. Robbie what? His first name's Robbie, and he's a Hispanic character. And he drives a big Mustang or something like that. Mustang or something like that. But, apparently... What Kevin Feige has planned, Say it again.
Robbie Reyes.
Reyes. There you go. So the Robbie Reyes character, and then there's another female Ghost Rider character that they want to introduce into the Midnight Suns project. Remember, we had talked about that previously, that they want to touch on that, and then they're going to introduce the Morbius into that somehow, some way. I don't know how that works, but this kind of weird deal that Sony and Disney have going on, this kind of synergy they got going on. Yeah. But let's see what happens. We're going to get Blade, I guess, after they reintroduce Blade and all that good stuff. So apparently they're going to introduce Nicolas Cage as kind of like a walk-on, like a mentor figure, the Johnny Blaze. And then, okay. You know, passing the torch, kind of another passing the torch moment to the new Ghost Rider characters, whatever character, female, or whatever direction they decide to go with. So, you against that? You think they should let the past die?
I'm cool with Nicolas Cage. Similar to how Batman, you know, they're trying to do Michael Keaton with Batman Beyond. I'm cool with him. Kind of, what was he? He was the caretaker in the... Who was the guy that Ghost Rider always, like, who kind of showed him the ropes in the first movie?
Yeah, I guess... was it the first movie? Yeah, it was the caretaker, I think. Or he was a ghostwriter originally, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, he was the first... He was, like, the original ghostwriter, right. And then...
He was, like, a Western ghostwriter.
Yeah, then Johnny Blaze took over the mantle.
Right.
I'm with that transition, you know what I mean? Kind of what they did with Ant-Man. I love it with Slick, how they had Hank Pym, you know, being older, you know, being in his late, you know, 60s or so.
Right.
And... introducing Scott Lang and him kind of schooling Scott Lang and giving him the suit and showing him how to, you know, become the new Ant-Man.
Right.
So I'm with Nicolas Cage doing that. And it'd be dope if they introduce a female lead for this movie and they touch on the Alejandra Jones character.
So that would be dope, man. I'm really looking forward to that. So see what kind of direction they take all that Midnight Sun stuff. You know, I'm looking forward to it. I think it would be a cool Disney Plus show. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Let's end off the show today. I know we talked about Michael B. Jordan. We talked about him quite possibly being the next Green Lantern. He apparently had pitched the idea of the Black Superman. That's where we heard the rumors of the Black Superman, rumors of that casting. Because he originally pitched an idea of a Black Superman to DC a long time ago. And maybe a one-off, like an Elseworlds kind of story, you know, like what if Superman was a black American instead of, you know, what if he was raised somewhere else, you know, urban America instead of, you know, a farm in Kansas. But apparently out of that conversation, DC said, hey, hold up, wait a minute. Then they talked about the Static Shock stuff, and that's how his company became part of the Static Shock stuff. But that whole, apparently Static Shock is a part of a whole universe of African-American heroes from that company that DC bought those rights. They you know, and absorbed them into DC. So they apparently have a Black Superman type character who is called Icon. So now the rumor is that Michael B. Jordan is eyeing to either play or produce or both. Also, after the Static Shock project, the Icon project, and developed this whole whole team of Black superheroes. Apparently, there's multiple characters. So, what do you think, man? Do you think it's right? Good for the apparently all these characters like Static Shock were definitely way ahead of their time when they were originally you know released, right. And a lot of their plots are relevant to today's, you know, to what's going on nowadays. So. What do you think?
I think it's good. I'm all for it. I think Michael B. Jordan is great at what he does. And I wouldn't be opposed for him being, you know, the Black Batman or the Black Superman. And Icon actually kind of delivers that because he is, like, essentially like a Black Superman within that universe. So, yeah, to get Michael B. Jordan to do it and bring some light to that character that maybe people were not as familiar with. Even Static Shock, you know, there wasn't a lot of people, kids, you know, didn't grow up in that era where I was watching that show.
Yeah.
Every Saturday morning. But, you know, it's good that these characters are, especially Black, African-American, you know, DC or superheroes are being, you know, brought to light right now, especially within the climate that we're in, man. We definitely need to, you know, show more and showcase more of these, you know, different, you know, the multicultural superheroes, man, instead of, you know, not that, you know, I understand everybody's kind of like, you know, let's keep it as, you know, I remember it and things like that. But let's also shine light on a lot of these guys that, you know, these ethnic characters, like Kamala Khan, like a Miles Morales, you know, Black Lightning, all that. Yeah. So you know, just keep it coming. I'm all for it, man. It just adds more diversity, and I always wanted to be that kid. You know, I think I was that kid. Being Latino, like, in Puerto Rican, I was always, hey, man, I don't have a superhero, like, you know, that's Puerto Rican or anything like that. Right. I wish there was a Puerto Rican superhero, and, you know, then you get, like, a Miles Morales.
Yeah.
You know, kind of changes the narrative and like, the fandom within me being Latino and having a character who's both Latino and, you know, African American.
That's right, man. I'm looking forward to see what you know, the final vision. You know, it's right now it's just talks, you know, and rumors. But it you know, I'm excited to see the final vision and see what, you know. I hope this being his first endeavor, probably as a producer with his producing company. You know, let's see how it turns out. You know, and let's keep our fingers crossed. Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan's brand holds a lot of weight, so I mean, I'm sure he talks, people won't listen.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely, yeah. And if he makes a Static Shock pop, I'm pretty sure they're going to sign him a blank check, let him do whatever he wants, you know? And I think this is going to sit in the DC multiverse, you know? I don't think it's going to be running concurrent with anything that's happening in the DCU right now as far as the movies are concerned. But and so that's probably why he'll be able to also do a role, the Green Lantern role. If he's going to be the Justice League's Green Lantern, so let's see how it all turns out, man. What's going on with you, man? What have you been working on?
For me personally, just been working on, you know, just here at the station, and then also doing some stuff for Dash Radio.
Nice.
The app, it's free to download. It's so many different channels. It's like the free version of Sirius, and I think it's the future of, you know, what's to come within the radio world. I'm really excited being a part of it. There's so many dope channels on there. I'm actually a part of Hip Hop X. I do a show every Friday and Saturday.
Nice.
You can tap in on my Instagram at Joey Franchise to get all that info. But just doing that. I'm actually going to be starting my Twitch channel very soon, as soon as I get my PS5.
All right.
You know, I'm about to take off from there and then do some content, you know, do an extended version of what we hear.
Yeah.
Also playing some games and, you know, all that stuff.
Excellent.
That.
So they can follow you. How they can follow you, my friend?
At Joey Franchise on Twitter and Instagram.
All right, cool. As far as me, go always follow my Latino stuff. DJ locally here in Tampa Bay area at DJ Speedy JR. My game stream as well. You can follow my I have a channel on Twitch, DJ Speedy JR, or you can follow me on Facebook, which actually I prefer, Speedy Junior Gaming. That's three words. And man, I finally finished that Star Wars Squadrons the story.
How was it?
It was interesting. I'll spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't played the story yet. This is your warning, okay? And apparently, like, I guess after after they won Return of the Jedi, the New Republic captured a Star Destroyer. And they freaked it. They rehashed it and built it and built their own model, a battleship class to rival a Star Destroyer. You know, so pretty much the story is you're playing on both sides. So you don't really alter history or anything. So it's still going to be canon. You know what I mean? No matter what you do in the story. So you play on both sides. Sometimes you play some missions as a New Republic. Sorry. But the Empire still calls them rebels. So sometimes you play as the Empire, or what's left of the Empire, should I say. And it's a little drama between the general that's you're playing with on the New Republic side used to be a Empire general, and he defected.
Wow.
So you're playing on another side where the other ones weren't revenge against him, and he's trying to stop them. And it's interesting. Seems like they did some character, you know, building on some of the characters so they can probably introduce maybe in something, some kind of maybe web series or some other show maybe, or they tested the waters with this story to see people are interested in it. You know, it's more like you've seen like Battlestar Galactica, stuff like that, you know, it's kind of like very, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's very, something like that, you know, like, you know, a lot of the space action and the dueling and all that stuff. So, let's see what happens. Yeah, they turned it into a dump truck. Yeah, like That's what they did. And but I get it though. At the end of it, they were like, you know, they let them destroy it because they figured out how to build their own from scratch now. So apparently, so now they're gonna build like the whole fleet of them or whatever. But who knows what they're gonna do anyway? As far as the story is concerned, it was just interesting. It was interesting the ideas that they were trying to put out with the story. And I like the gameplay and I enjoy it. So if your things X-Wings versus TIE Fighters, like me. I enjoy it. I play the dueling, and I haven't tried the actual capital ships versus capital ships yet. Yeah. But I enjoy it. And I'll probably do some game streaming in a minute since I still got some time here on the checkpoint XP time. Shouts out to Raceland 80 and War Dog of Osea. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here on the live show, Geek Culture Congress. Always follow us. Three words, Geek Culture Congress on Facebook. Give us a like there. If you want to follow the RSS feed, just the podcast audio-only version of this show, by all means, find us on your favorite podcast service, and please give us a 5-star rating. That helps us out greatly to be recognized by Google and like all these search engines that let us be found and be discoverable. And next time, Joey, hopefully we'll have our good friend Cherrick Lewis with us here, and we'll be getting into more of all these, what we'd like to talk about, man, everything that's happening. Did you know that there's also a Halloween event happening on Call of Duty, man? You been playing?
Oh, I haven't been playing in a while. I've been 2K-ing it, yeah. Heavy. But yeah, no, I got to jump on. That's dope.
Dope, man. I like his little twist on the Warzone. There's like a zombie Warzone. So instead of being sent when you die, instead of being sent to the gulag, you come back as a zombie.
That's fire.
So, and if you kill enough people as a zombie, you get to come back as a normal human being.
That's so insane.
And if your team all become zombies or all die, you know, all lose at your chance of, if you get killed, then you got to get bought back. If you get killed as a zombie, you got to get bought back, and then you come back as a human and starts the other process all over again. If you all die after your chances of being a zombie, then you lost. You know what I mean?
That's
so
insane.
So instead of the gulag, it's the zombie twist. So it kind of, you know.
It's only on Halloween?
Yeah, I guess apparently it's just run. This is the last week. That's why I wanted to mention it before we signed off. So if anybody hasn't played Warzone for a while because you got burned out on the whole gameplay of the game mechanics, give it a shot. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Still November 3rd. Thank you. Thank you, Raze. Thank you very much. I forgot about that. Technically, November 1st is Day of the Dead, so make sure you honor your ancestors that day, okay? Joey, thank you so much for joining us here in the live show. And,
pleasure.
I see you, brother. Have a good show. I know you're 7 o'clock. You're live on Wild 94.1. Download the app to tap in. Joey Franchise was talking about tapping way before Sweetie, okay? send Sweetie the bill.
For real, I'll send her the invoice.
All right, my man. Have a good one. See you, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good one, guys.
Peace.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.